Hey, Shelby.
Hey, Nick.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Krampus is probably coming to town.
And this is Stranger Still.
He's making a list, checking it twice. Gonna whip your buns if you've been naughty. Krampus is probably coming to town.
Can we start the show yet?
Yeah, I guess.
Welcome to Stranger Still,
the podcast where we jingle and jangle our way to your ear holes.
I'm Shelby Wood.
I'm Nick Wood. What are we talking about today, Shelby? Since you're starting the episode, you must have done all the research.
Yeah, that's what I do all the time. I just give you the cliff notes and then you just take credit for all of it.
You weren't supposed to say that in front of all of my friends. What? How you doing?
I'm just doing fine and dandy. Yeah. I'm sitting here with a knockoff alcoholic root beer from Aldi's.
Yeah.
And our daughter's at dance class. Mm-hmm. From another family member taking her. Thank yep. you again, Wood family.
And Christmas is next week.
Christmas is next week. And we're done.
We're done shopping.
We are done shopping like almost 2 weeks early.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very happy about that.
Yeah.
It took a lot of hard work and a lot of pre-planning.
Yeah.
But how many people do we do?
I don't know. These people don't care. They're here for the content.
But they need to realize how hard it is to get all of this done.
Everyone I think knows we how did hard it is.
35 different, like,
no,
presents.
No, we did not.
Yes, it is.
No.
It was at least 30.
Doesn't matter. Told you. Everyone's
no, like you know,
out.
You only know like what 10 people that I did. So Nick, how are you?
I'm doing all right. It's been a little tough because our daughter's been sick. And
yes, I know all of my daycare kids have been
but
sick.
But she's had an attitude because she's been sick,
and she's also three.
She also pooped her pants twice. And I sat her down. Well, I didn't sit her down. She was sitting on the toilet. And I told her, if you poop your pants one more time, I'm either telling Santa and you're going on the naughty list, or you can have your electronics taken away. And she chose to have her electronics taken away if she poops her pants again. But
it's scary how kids are terrified of Santa Claus already. When they're as soon as they understand what it is.
But I'm thinking about starting a new tradition, Shelby. And that is putting the fear of Krampus into our child's heart.
New tradition for our family,
yep.
not in
well, no, no, no,
the wider
yeah.
scale.
Yeah. Krampus has been around for a long time, which first I want to say before we get into this, same disclaimer as last year. We're going to be talking about Santa's dark past. He used to run with some pretty questionable folks, so if you don't want your children hearing that, make sure they don't hear this episode. He's a changed man. You know, so we don't want to, like, scare these children away from a man coming down their chimney or anything.
Yeah, because, you know, Santa Claus by itself is already weird because, you know, he watches you when you're sleeping.
Yeah.
He knows what you're doing, knows where you live.
Yeah.
Knows what you've been doing the entire year.
I don't understand why that's weird.
That one time that you weren't paying attention, you ran into a pole, he saw.
That one time I pooped my pants and then blamed it on my daughter. I said, Rory, you pooped my pants. So this topic comes to us from our Facebook page, suggested by Hillary on our poll, actually. And I've got a number of Christmas monsters or Christmas cryptids or Christmas
entities,
because some of them are witches. They're not all, like, creatures, but I'm going to call them monsters or cryptids or something.
And you're stuck with me talking about them, the person that doesn't like monsters and scary stuff.
Well, these aren't scary because it's all like, old folklore that is actually, I love all of these for different reasons, so I can't wait to talk about them. But I got the list from Atlas Obscura, which John talked about in his solo episode. and then went out and found as much information on these cryptids as I could. And sometimes there's not a lot. Sometimes they're all basically the same cryptid or whatever you want to call them. I think the title of this episode will say that I have five, but some of them have friends that I couldn't leave out, like the Yule Lads.
Are you going to talk about where they're from, or are these mostly...
Most of them are European, but some of them are even more specific than that. Like Belschnickel comes from southern Germany and Dutch Pennsylvania. And what is this one? Gryla comes from Iceland. So, yeah, let's hop into it, shall we?
I'm ready. I'm going in both feet. Let's go.
All right. So the first one I have here is Perchta.
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 Please tell me it's a bird.
It is not. She is a European witch.
And does she perch on her broomstick?
Sure. Actually, oh, you know what? She totally is part bird. Okay, so
yes, hold it.
So there are plenty of other similar witches out there. Like Italy has La Befana. Last year I mentioned Babushka a little bit in Russia, but Frau Perchta is half human, half demon. All witch. Surprisingly, Perchta means bright one, but she had a goose foot, one goose foot that many credit as the beginning of the Christmas tradition of eating goose on Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Like I saw that in multiple places, so it wasn't just someone's crackpot idea that Perchta was the beginning of eating goose.
Or, you know, it was just because it was the leftover goose and it was that old grandpa that wanted to scare the grandkids and made up a story about this.
You see why I eat that goose? It's to scare off Perchta. So she's actually mostly seen, or the folklore said that she was mostly seen throughout January, especially during a feast on January 6th called the Feast of the Epiphany. And there are many stories associated with her that I'll get to, but in most places, she's a witch that basically goes around making sure people are upholding traditions. So she's not necessarily looking for people that are naughty or nice. Like, for instance, if you work on a sacred day or you're not having enough enthusiasm for festivities, you will be punished.
So she's just an old grandma.
She is an old grandma.
She's a very strict old grandma.
Yeah. So you might be wondering, what is this old grandma going to bestow as punishment upon me? Well,
a stern lecture and a stink eye and just a wagging finger says, you know, back in my day, yeah, we used to do all this stuff and you need to keep doing it.
Back in my day, I walked through 7 miles of snow just to see if you were being happy. So she, Perchta, would sneak into your house at night, cut open your stomach and your gut, disembowel you, and then replace your bowels with straw, rocks, and other garbage. And then she'd, like, sew you back up and then go on to the next house.
Yeah, that totally goes along with tradition. It's better if she was sneaking in the house and just rearrange stuff back into what she thinks it should be for tradition.
You're projecting this grandma nature onto her.
Yes, I am, because who else is just like, we need to do tradition stuff?
Yeah. So she did have a little bit of naughty searching. So if kids were unruly, she carried a sack with her. She'd put the kids in the sack and carry them off.
With all the innards that she took out?
Probably.
Just mix it all in together.
Yeah, she makes a stew. So here's a couple folklorish stories that Vice had on her. A young farmhand who incurs her ire by spying on her goes blind. Although his sight is ultimately restored, the message is clear. Do not mess with Perchta. There's another story where she intrudes on a wedding reception she was not invited to attend. She curses the bride and groom and the whole wedding party by transforming them into wolves.
So she's supposed to be invited to every single wedding ever?
I don't know. Like, she's just like...
Grandma
got into the wine stash.
Yeah, it was not a traditional wedding. It was one of the first gay marriages. And she came in and was mad about it because it's not traditional.
You're the wolves now!
Or is it, you know, one of those new rustic weddings or something? Everybody has to bring something for a potluck. And she goes, no, this is not tradition.
That's true. You might be on something. There's a subcategory of monster to Perchta, which is the straggle, not to be confused with the craggle. These are like a bear demon monster hybrid that Perchta would ride around on in some cultures, like in Switzerland and that Swiss culture folklore. She would ride around on them. And if you can visualize it, I can show you a picture here, but everyone else at home, it basically looks like if Maury Syndak took some acid and had a bad trip and then wrote Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah, I can see that. It's like a weird, yeah, Where the Wild Things Are, definitely vibe. We're kind of a Bigfoot, but shorter, fatter.
And fatter, yeah.
More round.
And he's got these giant horns.
Yeah,
Krampus-like horns, yeah.
It's like if a devil-possessed Bigfoot.
Yeah. And also befriended a little boy named Max. That's the kid's name, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can buy that book for our kids.
I know.
Too bad we're already done Christmas shopping.
Well, next year?
No.
Santa can bring an answer. The next one I had. Any questions on Perchta or the Straggle?
No. How old is she?
She's perpetually 80 years old, and she carries a wooden spoon to swat your butt with. The next one I have here is Belschnickel, which my coworkers are obsessed with Belschnickel because of The Office. They love The Office. So for like the last week, just randomly, the office will be quiet for like 2 minutes, and then someone will say, "Cheer fear, Belschnickel is here," because that's what Dwight says in The Office. But what he does in that episode, if you guys have seen it, is he dresses up as Belschnickel, and then he judges people's year on whether they were impish or admirable. And if they're impish, he would whip them with his little switch. And if they were admirable, he'd give them like a crappy little gift. So it turns out Belschnickel's a real thing. So I couldn't not talk about it. He goes by other names like Perschnickel or Belschnickel or Pelsnickel.
One of the other rhyming things.
Yeah. It said that his name came from like some German word for like to smack. But
oh, there's
I couldn't
a German
find the
weird name for everything. Just true. Combine a bunch of words to make a new
and
word.
Belschnickel. So he comes from Germany and in America, Pennsylvania Dutch. And he was, in some cultures, a companion to Santa. But he was just a normal dude that dressed up in fur and crappy clothes and had, like, coal stains all over him. And he carried a switch to whip people with and just traveled the lands.
The traveling hobo that just hitches a ride on Santa's sleigh.
Yeah, he's, like, got a skateboard and he sketches a ride. So if kids were naughty, he would obviously beat them with the switch. But he would actually show up a couple weeks before Christmas. This is where he's the companion to Santa. He would show up like 2 weeks before Christmas and would visit every child's home and determine if they were naughty or nice. And
that's Santa's job. That is not his job. That well, is Santa's job. He has
Santa's
a whole
make
list.
Toys. Gosh. Well, he gets the list from Belschnickel.
Oh, there you go. So, Belschnickel makes the list and then Santa double checks it.
Because he doesn't trust Belschnickel. Belschnickel has had a lot to drink.
it's exhausting beating all those kids, okay? You kind of get sloppy towards the end.
Yeah, I guess so. But like I said, would smack kids that were naughty. So by the time Santa would show up, they'd be scared and acting right. His pockets were also full of cakes and nuts that he would give to children that were good. And apparently, back in the 1800s, people started getting drunk and going out on town doing what's called belsnicking.
Oh, no.
Where they'd wreak havoc, pull pranks on people, and vandalize the town.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they were going to go around and beat the naughty kids.
That'd be pretty good, though, wouldn't it?
Just like, that would be so bad. Just some dad just be like, oh, my kid's been horrible, and I've been at the bar drinking. I'm going to come home and beat him with the switch and... I thought
no,
that's where
that
you're going.
No,
okay.
I'm not going there.
Okay, I'm okay with like slight pranks or whatever in the name of him.
But like beating strangers with sticks?
Yeah, no. Like going home, just like beating all the kids that are out after dark.
Well, they're out after curfew. They deserve to get smacked with a birch tree.
The whole tree?
Yeah, just the whole tree, obviously. The Office episode also says that he had a sidekick that would go around in blackface. I didn't see that, but I did see that in some cultures, Belschnickel was in blackface, so that's a little problematic. But
well,
in other
you said
ones,
he was covered in coal.
Well,
so
he was just like covered head to toe in coal, so I think that maybe that's where that evolved into. Hopefully that's the direction it went.
Or maybe he was just black and people thought it was coal.
That's also racist. The next one I have here is Tomten. Have you heard of Tomten?
I have not.
Well, some people might, because Tomten is this little gnomish guy. He comes from Scandinavian folklore. They have this creature in Scandinavian folklore is called Tomte. In Norwegian folklore, there's a similar creature called Nisse. And he shares, I mentioned Joel Tomte last year just briefly. So he that's where Joel Tomte comes from, is from Tomten. Anyway, in the 1900s, a Swedish poet by the name of Victor Rydberg wrote a poem about him called Tomten, which was later adapted by Astrid Lindgren, who wrote Pippi Longstockings. So some people may have heard a tale of Tomten. He's dressed like a gnome, as you can see here, and his job actually is to watch after people's farms and their farm animals and their crops and stuff. And he'll work really, really hard all throughout the year. And all he asks for is
a little porcelain figure in people's gardens.
That's where garden gnomes come from. All he asks for is a bowl of Christmas porridge and a heap of butter on Christmas Eve. So if you don't give that to him, he feels wronged and he will retaliate. He'll either pull tricks on you to drive you crazy. Maybe he'll go into your house and rearrange your furniture or whatever. He might bite you, and his bites are always poisonous and they probably kill you, or he'll just kill your livestock.
Of course.
Yeah. So
what do you do? If you don't feel like porridge
like
on Christmas.
Like vampires killing livestock.
Yeah. That's Tomten fine.
Tomten killing livestock. So one story I found on a website for Nordic Marketplace in Bristen goes like this. On Christmas Eve, a servant girl decided she would play a trick on Tomten. She hid the butter for his porridge at the bottom of the bowl. When Tomten saw that there was no butter in his Christmas porridge, he went to the shed and killed the best cow. He wanted to show them he did not appreciate them begrudging him a little bit of butter. He returned to the barn to eat the porridge anyway. When he discovered the butter at the bottom of the bowl, he felt so bad that he walked to the neighbor's farm, took their best cow, and led her back to the stall of the cow that he'd just killed.
What a great story. A prank.
I love old folklore.
Like, it's such a bad prank in the first place.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
going to put my butter at the bottom of this bowl.
I'm
going to
put it on the bottom.
It's like something Rory would come
up
with.
It's such a good prank. And then the dude, instead of, you know, mixing it up or whatever, or looking around like, oh, is there another bowl? I'm just going to go out and kill the cow that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to come back and eat the porridge that I refuse to even, like, touch or whatever.
Well, he's not going to let it go to waste.
And then have to, like, punish the neighbor.
Yeah. Because... There's another story where, like, this guy couldn't afford hay for his cow. So Tomten showed up and he's like, I got it covered. And his cows were, like, always well fed. And then one day he caught Tomten stealing or leading the cows to the neighbor's hay. And the cows would eat that hay. And then he'd bring them back to the barn.
So it's like kinda... little Robin Hood.
Yeah, I guess so.
From the rich and give them the poor kind of thing.
So these days he's basically, he evolved into what's now Santa. Sweden's Joel Tomte has a Christmas goat that pulls his sleigh, which... is imagery that I love. Instead of reindeer, can we make them all goats?
That would be great.
Yeah.
It would be easier to, like...
They'd get so distracted.
All those people that think reindeer are fake because
Everyone knows goats are real.
Yeah, everybody knows goats are real because it's part of the cuisine in a lot of cultures.
That's true, yeah. And then we've got Gryla, who might be my favorite, but not for the obvious reasons. She was first documented in literature in the 1200s, but was an oral tradition before that. She, too, is a witch, but she lives in the mountains, and I've seen her described as an ogress. I've also seen her described as having 15 or 40 tails. She has a sack that she carries with her, as well as a sword and a knife.
So is she like an ugly Fiona from Shrek?
Yeah, basically. I've seen her, like, she shows up in festivals and stuff as just, like, this giant head with a bunch of, like, pimples. And you saw the picture of her eating a child's leg. You guys can seek this out. She is pretty generic, honestly. Her whole shtick is that originally in the winter near Yule, which is Iceland's midwinter holiday, she'd come down from the mountain hunting for naughty children. And if she found any, she'd put them in her sack, carry them up to the mountain where she'd either eat them or torture them. And it wasn't until the 1900s that Christmas made its way to Iceland and Gryla became a part of Christmas folklore.
I think there was an episode of Sabrina with her.
Oh, a lot of these show up in...
Yeah.
Oh, not Sabrina. I was thinking Buffy. Buffy. A lot of these show up in like shows like Buffy and stuff.
Yeah. No, there's definitely... But she is not an old fat lady. She steals the kids and raises them as her own.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
And the little bits and pieces that I've seen... but all this isn't what makes her so great. Like I said, that is pretty generic. What makes her great is her cast of supporting characters.
Please tell me it's just a bunch of little children that it she is. Decided to not eat.
So, no, they're her children. So, in Iceland, they had other figures around the time. They had the Yule lads that I've mentioned before, and they had the Yule cat that were their own separate thing. But when Gryla became part of Christmas folklore, they became part of her story. And... I've read in two different places that the Yule cat became her husband. I read in another place that the Yule cat became her and her children's pets, but the Yule lads were her children, and the cat was like this trollish man cat type thing, and he'd go after anyone who didn't receive a new piece of clothing for Christmas. So
how is that their fault?
I don't know. Don't ask me. So you got to get your family new pieces of clothes for Christmas. Otherwise, the Yule cat's going to get them.
And that's why everybody gets new underwear and socks for Christmas.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to get devoured by the Yule cat. He'll eat you. But the best part is the Yule lads. Besides having the best name of any Christmas folklore I've ever heard of, they are Gryla's 13 sons. And much like the Seven Dwarves, they have very descriptive names, which I got from a blog called Scary Little Christmas, and they go a little bit something like this.
Dopey, Docs, Grumpy, Sleepy.
Who's left?
I don't even know how many I named, so yeah. I don't know. Well, People are screaming at the podcast right now.
actually.
Bashful, Sneezy.
Sneezy is not an emotion. That is BS. They copped out on that one.
Oh, yeah, because Doc is.
Yeah. What's up, Doc?
Anyways, please tell me about these 13 kids.
So the first one I have here is Sheep Coat Clog. He was a peg-legged sheep fancier. Yeah. If you know what I mean. His fancying was impaired by his peg legs, according to Scary Little Christmas.
Yeah, you can't creep up on him.
God. Then we got Goli Gawk, who hides out in ditches or gullies and waits for an opportune moment to run into the cow shed and lick the foam off the milk in the milking buckets. That's his shtick.
Of all things.
Hang on, it gets better. We've got Stubby. His name denotes his stature, and he is unusually short. If your pie pan is missing, you can bet Stubby has stolen it to eat whatever pie crust was left behind. Spoon Licker. Licker and Thief of Spoons. I wish I was making these up, but I love them so much.
That sounds like even too stupid for you to make up.
I know. Pot Scraper. Petty Theft of Leftovers. Bowl Licker. This one hides under your bed, waits for you to absentmindedly put down your bowl so he can steal it. And yes, lick it. Door Slammer. Oh, did you just fall asleep? Not for long. This guy plans on slamming doors all night. Skyer Gobbler. There will be no Skyer, a type of yogurt, left in your house on the night of a night when Skyer Gobbler visits.
And do these only visit in the wintertime, or are these year-round things?
These are like around Yule, Yule time. Sausage Swiper. He's going to steal your sausage. I hope it's well hidden. Window Peeper. He's watching you right now.
Oh, no.
Doorway Sniffer.
What? Doorway Sniffer?
He's like the best My Hero Academia superheroes ever. Uses his incredibly large nose to sniff through doors as a leaf bread locator, which is a traditional Icelandic Christmas bread.
So he just goes in the doorway and sniffs to try to find what...
To find leaf bread?
What room has bread in it? Let me just use my super long nose to find like a Pinocchio nose that grows when there's no bread. And then when you eat bread, it just shrinks back down.
It grows until he points toward it. Then we got Meat Hook. This fellow always brings a hook along with him so he can steal meat. And the
Hangs
last
out
one...
with the sausage finger.
Oh, God. They are not friendly siblings. And the last one here is Candle Stealer. He follows children around so he can steal their candles, leaving them in the dark. So you will lads will be a part of our family tradition next year.
No. No. A lot of those are like super similar. Like, oh, I'm going to lick the spoons and you're going to lick the bowl and I'm going to lick the plate for the pie. Or it's just, it's too similar.
I imagine some of these must be like triplets or something. So they kind of work together like Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Or it's Shock in that movie. What's it called? Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, honey.
And the last one I've got here. Do you have any questions so far? I know this is very confusing.
I have lots of questions, but it's mostly on the people back then. But also, yeah. They didn't have TV to entertain them, so they have to make up their own stuff.
And they're entertaining me now. The last one I have, I saved the best for last, even though it's not my favorite. It is many people's favorites, and that is Krampus. And I mentioned him only in passing last year. And I went back to double check because you and I both thought that I had talked about him.
Yeah,
it was just
in
passing.
That's what
you did. No, just very little. He's by far the most popular Christmas monster, and he's a half goat, half demon, total metal, like Ozzy Osbourne. he comes from Austria and parts of Germany where they don't have Belschnickel. And the word Krampus comes from the German word for claw, Krampen. And he looks almost like a satyr from like Greek lore, like the half goats, half dudes. And he has these like really long horns usually when he's depicted.
Very hairy.
Very hairy. He's got fur
red
like all
eyes
the way down.
Usually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's usually carrying a sack and a switch or a whip. And I guess you could say he was a companion to Saint Nicholas in that he was the exact opposite of Santa.
Where there's light, there is dark.
Exactly. He's the yin-yang. So just like Santa, he had his roots in pagan traditions. Of course, the Catholic Church thought he looked too much like the devil and tried to outlaw him, which kind of worked for a while. Now he's making a resurgence. But his roots actually came from a German tradition called Krampusnacht. So, which is Krampus Night. On December 5th, Krampus would come to town, and if you had been good that year, you'd be spared. But if you were bad, he'd beat you with a tree branch, with a switch.
I'd rather take the coal, thanks.
Well, then on December 6th, Nicholas Tog, which is St. Nicholas Day. And if you were good, Santa would leave you candy or presents in your shoes. And if you were bad, he'd leave you a birchwood rod in your shoes. That is if Krampus didn't take you in the dark of night.
It was just like a mild bad instead of a really bad.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I didn't like how you didn't share your toy, but you didn't outright steal the toy and burn it to the ground. Yeah. So.
Did I mention that he'd take you off in your sack if you're especially bad? I think I left that part out, but that's what Krampus would do. So these days, there's tradition still in Europe, like in the Czech Republic, where people would dress up as Krampus and go running through the streets. Like, that seems to be a common tradition for many holidays. I think we talked about it with Halloween in some European country.
Dude, we should dress as Krampus for Halloween. How crazy would that
be? What do you
mean
Halloween? I'm going to dress up as Krampus for Christmas and scare my niece and nephew and daughter.
Yeah, that'll be great.
It'll be great.
Yeah, we'll have your brother dress up as Santa Claus and you can dress up as Krampus.
I see no problems with this. Other than I got to learn how to walk on stilts. So National Geographic closed their article on Krampus by saying, quote, "There's already complaints that Krampus is becoming too commercialized and losing his edge because of his newfound popularity."
Yeah, you mean like Santa Claus?
Well, I was just going to say, if Nat Geo is calling you out on losing your edge, I think you've lost your edge. Maybe it's time we move on to something more sinister, a more sinister Christmas monster like the Yule Lads.
No, no? I think Krampus is a lot scarier than the Yule Lads.
I think you're wrong. I don't want to lose my candles. We spent a lot of money on those Bath & Body Works candles, and if candle stealer comes around and steals my vanilla cherry candle, I'm going to be pissed.
I can totally see those Yule Lads being way more commercialized than Krampus. Krampus has only been like commercialized in like scary movies and TV shows and stuff. I don't think it's been commercialized in actual like commercials for things.
No, he was in that movie.
Krampus?
Yeah, and I was trying to think of what else he was in, but I think that's it.
The critically acclaimed Krampus.
Yeah. It had that guy in that movie or that show you like, didn't it?
It had the guy with the chick and the thing.
It had the guy from Parks and Rec. What's his name? The guy that marries Amy Poehler. Didn't it have him in it? Or am I thinking of Little Evil? That was a Netflix movie, wasn't it? Oh, wow. I'm getting way off course. Someone's really yelling at me. Hang on. I got to look this up before someone... Krampus movie.
This is just a regular episode to relate everything to pop culture because...
There's many connections.
We're still young. I swear. Even though we're parents, we get pop culture. I swear.
I know what the floss is. Adam Scott. It is him. I told you. You know Adam Scott.
Yes.
He plays the guy in Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. Whew, that was a close one. When we come back from the break, I think we should come up with our own Christmas monster. We'll be right back. What a relaxing trip that was. You know what else is relaxing?
What, Nick?
Going to StrangerStillShow.com, checking out our website, leaving us a review on iTunes, or going to Facebook.com/group/StrangerStill, where sometimes we put polls up to see what you guys want to listen to, and we get ideas for episodes like this.
Yes, and next month, hopefully, will be released before the month starts.
Oh, I also want to say... Next week is going to be a different episode. It is not a fun topic. It will be story time. I don't want to say any more than that, but hopefully you guys will tune in because I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Give us a break because you're not taking a break.
Yeah, I'm not taking a break ever. So I was like, what can I do that sounds really fun? And I think I nailed it.
Yeah.
So until next week, if you want to check out some other content, we're part of the Flying Machine Network. There's other great shows on there like Divisive Issues. They just last week finished their 7-part series on Bleach.
Yeah.
The entire...
Have you heard of Bleach, Nick?
Wait. Okay. I was telling Shelby about it because I was telling her we started watching My Hero Academia and I was like, I was just listening to Divisive Issues coverage on Bleach. Do you know what Bleach is? And you're like, yeah. I was like, well, give me a break.
You've only talked about Bleach like 5,000 times.
That's not even true. I have maybe talked about Bleach like once. I bought like 2 mangas back in 2006 and that was it. And I don't have them anymore. So anyway, go listen to their coverage because it inspired me to watch My Hero Academia because eventually Bleach becomes very bad. And I was like, what if it wasn't bad? Oh, yeah, I need to finish My Hero Academia. So we started doing that. And I got you hooked on it.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, I don't know about hook, but I will watch it when I'm in the room. And then now you're like, oh, you have to watch this episode.
Important stuff happens.
Yeah, important stuff happens. You will be lost. Instead of, you know, just having me watch it with you next time and be like, hey, what happened?
And no, you're
just
you got to experience it. No, you got to experience it.
You have to watch it, babe.
You're so mean to me. So speaking of being mean to me, I want to make up our own Christmas monsters so that in 1,000 years in the future, they will find this podcast and think that these were real Christmas monsters.
So, wow, you think really highly of yourself, don't you?
One can hope, right? So while you're thinking of yours, I have the best one because I came up with it last night and I'm putting
on
the spot. So I think this is the best one because this is how you get grown-ups to behave around Christmas.
Oh,
are you ready?
Grown-ups to behave.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's the Christmas monster is called the Raptor, spelled with a W because he's a dinosaur who doesn't love dinosaurs, right? And if you've been naughty during the year, he sneaks into your house at night and whispers a spoiler for a show you're watching or a movie that you're really excited about or a book you're reading. But if you're good, he magically lobotomizes the memory of one of your favorite pieces of media so you get to experience it brand new again.
I think both of those are bad. I don't want a lobotomy and
I don't want
spoilers.
Wouldn't you love to watch Firefly again for the first time?
No,
you're weird. So they just act neutral all year. But like then if your partner's acting up, like when I throw myself on the ground in the middle of Walmart because you won't let me get the new Hot Wheel, then you can be like, now, Nick, if you keep acting up, I'm going to have to call Raptor and tell him to spoil My Hero Academia. Tell you all about the fight the best genist gets into.
All right. So now, since you had all night to think about this monster, yeah, and I've had a whole 30 seconds to think of one.
Yeah, go for it. You got the best one here. Yeah, and yeah. Go.
What about a new 21st century monster?
You don't think Raptor's 21st century?
No. something that like kills off electronics.
Oh, or it drains the power from your tablets.
Yeah, well, or like eats the power cords for like your Switch or the
like a gremlin.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like the PlayStation
if
or
you don't
whatever.
Give him his Christmas porridge and butter.
Yeah. He'll hide your cords for all your electronic, your charging cords or your USB cords. He'll gnaw right through them or he'll hide them, take them to his nest or something.
And all he asks for once a year is for one Starbucks latte. What are you going to say?
I don't know. Maybe just like kids being nice or like appreciating something without
bring it
electronics.
Into the new age. Kids have been nice since the dawn of time. What's 21st
what about,
century?
What's like take if you have
you
like
do the floss
a
really well.
No, if you have an electronic addiction, then he'll do that.
Oh,
then
okay.
Get you off of it.
Yeah, start trying that on our nephew. See if we can make this a real Christmas monster.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he'd be able. He wouldn't fall for that.
Have you named it?
Totally.
The coordinator. The
I don't know. We'll have to work. Why don't you put in your suggestions?
Hey, that's such a good idea.
Stranger Still on Facebook.
Oh, you're so smart.
What we should name our cord gremlin.
Yeah.
It's just pure genius just pouring out of me. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, I'm still Raptor.
And I'm still Shelby.
Aw, man. I thought you were the coordinator.
No.
And this is Stranger Still.
I give you the Incredible Flying Machine.